You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Follow the mystery. The Orphans, new episodes every Monday, exclusively at OneOfUs.net.
Conjuring sequel. I was excited as fuck about this. I don't know about you, but like, I loved James Wan's first The Conjuring, and I did not expect to.
Yeah, he's not at the point in his career where you see his name on the screen and you think he's even come close to disappointing, like, really in anything he's done. So,
yeah, apparently the first horror movie he did with the puppet wasn't so great.
I didn't see that when it was new. I saw it a few years ago.
It's on Netflix.
I saw it a few years ago, and I was like, oh, this is a James Wan movie, and it's really solid.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It has, like, a 1.5 star on Netflix. So
no, it has a lot of problems, and you could tell that, like, some of them are, like, first-time filmmaker problems.
Yeah,
but, like, you could see the foundation of, like, everything he's done since.
And build towards what in The Conjuring ended up being solid, I think, for a lot of reasons, because he was like, all these ghost movies keep using all this CG for their ghosts. Like, CG ghosts aren't scary. Yeah. Why aren't we going back to the stuff that scared me when I was a kid in the 70s, when we were doing ghost movies that were all practical effects of stuff moving around and, like, camera tricks and stuff? That's scarier.
Yeah.
Much scarier. Perspective tricks, that sort of thing. And that's one of the reasons
stuff that you can't see is almost always more scary than the shit that you
yes, and that was, he was very aware of that in The Conjuring, where he built towards the point where, yes, you finally see something, and even then, he was using practical effects and on-camera trickery instead of a post-trickery.
Right.
Yeah. You know, The Conjuring 2 largely follows this.
Largely follows this, and when it doesn't, and I'm not going to spoil it where it does, but there's some CGI elements of this that I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, they're the moments this movie, and they're very few.
They're very few.
Chooses to go and do a CG thing, and I mean literally there's a whole creature in here that is CG. It's so glaring.
It breaks the tone of the movie where you're just like, wait a minute, now I feel like I'm watching Goosebumps.
But again. Yeah, it's also the element of what we said of the things we can't see are the scariest. Now you can full on see this thing the entire time it shows, every time it shows up, and it's like, after a while, it just became less and less scary throughout.
It's a great idea. You know, it's just the execution, not so much. That said,
Conjuring 2 overall, I'd say not a bad sequel.
Not one of the all-time great
sequels.
I think it stands up pretty well. I mean, it follows the formula of the original movie, which is it follows
Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Ed and Lorraine Warren,
played by Vera Farmiga and Patrick Wilson.
Complete bullshit artists.
Let's be clear, in real life.
Yeah.
These people are hucksters to the nth degree.
Yeah, absolutely. But they much like Evel Knievel, they've made something more of themselves than just the stupid shit that they did. And this what is shaping up to be a franchise now is pretty good. The film versions of the characters are very amenable, and you root for them. You like for them. They're a little bit more two dimensional than you generally run into in your haunted house movie, for sure.
Three dimensional
than the people you run into in haunted house movies. And the catch is that all of their stuff is based on a true story, and not only that, but it's like right out of the file cases from shit that Ed and Lorraine actually did.
Yeah,
and they actually were. They were part of the whole Amity horror thing. They were like Amityville horror thing. They were right there.
Which is, you know, the way, just like the first one started with a little taste of Annabelle.
Yeah.
You know, which, by the way, don't ever watch the Sola movie. Annabelle spinoff. It's fucking terrible. But that little teaser we get in the beginning of Conjuring 1 is so scary, right?
Yeah.
This one also gives their little, like, this is the James Bond of ghost story movies, where you've got to see the previous case tail end, where they're at Amityville, which I'm calling it now. There's going to be a Conjuring 3 Amityville film.
If there's going to be a third one, I think it needs to not be so formulaic, because it is kind of turning into there's the opening scene will be a bit of another case that'll have some scary bits. The main haunting that the Warrens aren't a part of, and then it gets to like the detective story part of it. And it's like if those are the formula, that's the parts. Like, you got to deviate from that a little bit for the next one.
And Bo is right. This is totally the building of a franchise here, because this one solidifies that as they really double down on the Warrens being the primary characters of this story.
Yeah. Right.
As like we
whereas
see,
in the first movie, definitely Lily Allen was. Yes. You felt that. That she was a big part, right? And this one, the mom, and it's shit is happening to a family, but instead of a nice fixer upper pseudo Southern Gothic mansion this time, it's a fucking council flat in Enfield, London, in Enfield, which is a neighborhood in the north of London. And yeah, if you've ever seen those post-war pictures of English tract housing. Of all of these, like, little kind of, you know, almost duplexy things that all look the same. That's what it is.
Yeah, but you can't tell if it's one house or two houses put together.
Exactly. Yeah. It's council housing, so it's kind of, you know, it's, you're not so poor as to not be able to afford a house, but you're lower middle class.
You're poor enough that if your house is haunted as fuck, you're pretty much just screwed.
You're pretty much just screwed. Oh my god, this house is like, it's seen better times. Like, let's put it that way.
And this is based on, you know, a real, in quotations, yes, case called the Enfield Poltergeist. Which is still held up by believers as one of the more
convincing. One of those cases that's like 50-50. Like, there are as many people as would say, oh no, dude, shit got real, as people that would be like, no, everybody was faking the shit.
I don't just mean people reacting to the story, people who were there at the time going, and of course Ed and Lorraine Warren were like, it's all real, because, you know, I mean,
that's what they do for a living.
That's what they do for a living, yeah.
did the Catholic Church ever weigh in on this one in real life?
I'm not actually sure about, but
they kind of danced around this one, because the church did, in the first Conjuring, the church kind of took took more of an open hand towards it, whereas in this one they're like, we kind of took a bite on the ass with the whole Amityville thing, yeah, so we're not getting involved here, but why don't you go over there and check it out unofficially?
Yeah, I love the whole bit early. You see a recreation of an actual talk show event where the Warrens were just confronted by a skeptic who's presented here as, like, an asinine villain.
Yeah, huge dick.
But it's like, no.
But in reality, he'd be the guy you'd totally be rooting for.
Yeah, the Lutzes did go, we made it up, I'm sorry. Like, so I'm sure that evidence that Lorraine has, but I had a dream, is convincing.
That said, this does reference, like, the original killings that did fucking happen.
Yeah.
No argument.
The Ronald DeFeo killings.
The Ronald DeFeo killings.
Which are very disturbingly recreated.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They do a chilling job.
And that's all like that little prequel bit. And even from there, we see the Warrens in their house, and it's just sort of sets up a thing where there's something specifically dragging onto them. There's something holding onto them, and it's Marilyn Manson, apparently.
It totally is the Marilyn Manson ghost. At one point, she's like trying to figure out the demon's name. I almost yelled at the screen. It's Marilyn Manson!
I know. It's like, it's clearly Marilyn Manson!
I hope the Blu-ray has one of those special features where they like really delve into like how they created the creature and where they were inspired, and like, it's all bullshit. It's only Marilyn Manson.
It's
15 minutes long.
They have, as the other story is going on as it's flashing back and forth, we're seeing, okay, this nun thing is starting to become troublesome. Lorraine is having haunting visions of Ed's death due to something that's connected with this nun and whatever, and she's like, we're not going to investigate any more hauntings for a while. I feel like we're being warned off. And of course, when something actually gets dropped in their lap, the Catholic Church shows up and goes, look, we want to help these people, but because of that Amityville thing, we got to kind of be cautious about it. We're going to pay for you guys to go there, and we just need you to give us something really solid that either yes or no, there really genuinely is something going on here, or if it is indeed a hoax like Amityville was.
Like, we're totally willing to help, but not if it's bullshit.
And they go out there, and you got Frances O'Connor as the mom, who by the time they get there is totally harried and she's seen shit, local police have seen shit, or neighbors have seen shit. It's not one of those, like, you know, only her daughter, who seems the oldest of the, or second oldest of the four children she has, is a witness. Now, everybody, like, the whole fucking neighborhood knows shit is real there by this point, which is unusual for this sort of...
Yeah, I did find it refreshing people having sort of honest reactions, too. Like one of my biggest gripes in Poltergeist, because I didn't see it until a few years ago for the first time.
What?
Yeah, leave me alone.
I will get back to this.
Hey, did you hear the Herm doesn't like fried chicken?
In that moment where they see the chair slide across and the parents are like, ooh, isn't that cool? And I'm like, no, that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And in The Conjuring 2, like, people see that and they're like, no, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. that's one of the you know, off-track things that they do in this is there really isn't any point, like, people going like, well, we don't believe you. You're clearly, you know, because as soon as somebody starts to say that sentence, like, a dresser, like, crashes under the next wall, or one of the kids is levitated and slammed up against the ceiling. They're like, oh, well, fuck.
What they don't know is the daughter was actually David Copperfield.
Well, this was the 70s, so she was actually Doug Henning.
Yeah, true enough.
Power of magic.
She can go into any bathroom she wants. No. they get there and they're very much under this sort of like, we want to help and we tend to believe, we go with faith, but at the same time, we actually are working for someone on this case. We're working for the Catholic Church. Lorraine is still very nervous, like, I don't know if we should be here. I'm very worried about Ed. And that plays into a bigger arc that comes along as things start to get more dangerous. One thing I did like about this a lot was that some of the real life things that were going on, like the moment, like, the skeptics launched in. I mean, there really was a video of like one of the people involved doing stuff that was attributed to a spirit, you know, and then they're going, well, the whole thing's faked, clearly, right? We have proof that this has been faked, you know. And that was like, well, that was it. And then shit got even worse after that. That actually did really happen.
Yeah.
And it was interesting that I thought that the movie did the best it could to cleave to that while still going, okay, this isn't really a movie about these people in this house. This is the real beginning of the Ed and Lorraine mythology,
yeah.
You know, where it's like, hey, dark forces have gathered against them and this is only the first blow. All that being said, whereas it didn't bother me as much in the first movie, and this is just a personal thing, it gets a little cloying with the religious thing on this one. And I know that's Ed and Lorraine's
thing. They're way more pronounced.
Yeah, it's super way more pronounced.
And there's no balancing case in this one. They have, like, there's really only on the little team of experts they established, there's only one kind of, you know, skeptic, and she's really portrayed as, well, you're just a bitch.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Which is Frankie Potente feeling very unloved.
Yes, as well she should.
I can't tell if she was trying to do an English accent or not.
No, she was doing, I think the character she was playing was Eastern European.
Okay, so. Fair enough. Anita Gregory. But yeah, as they point on the end credits, all these people, everyone, even the small characters, based on real people involved, I mean, they really tried so hard to cleave to
happened. The main British investigator, who was actually much more kind of the lead of this investigation than the real event, is he's actually one of the guys who invented the you know, those billboards that, like, they'll change. They have, like, three-sided pyramid. He invented that. So after he did that, he became a psychic investigator.
It's Simon McBurney, who was in a ton of stuff. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the Manchurian Candidate remake. He plays Maurice Gross, who was a big, investigator as well there, who had worked with the Warrens before. And I guess I really enjoyed, as this went along, the degrees to which, because I even watched the month or two ago, the British three-part miniseries about it, which is a lot closer to, like, detail to detail what happened. And also,
was it a documentary?
No. It's a fictionalized, but it tries really hard to cleave to the events as reported. And you leave going, like, honestly, it could go, it could have been faked. It could have been real. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
You know, as a skeptic, I go, it was fake.
It was fake.
Yeah, teenage girls. I knew a few of them growing up, and they were horrible.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. No, you're not. Only partially.
Speaking of that, what did you guys think of, or we could talk about Madison Wolf's performance as Janet, the little girl?
She's wonderful.
Really good.
Definitely one of the centerpieces of this thing is her, because the spirit in this house, which is this old cranky guy, me in 30 years, is like...
meaning you're going to die in 30 years. die in 20 years, and then you'll come back as a ghost.
Another 10? Yeah, I'm going to haunt the shit out of you specifically.
You think I'll still be alive.
She is wonderful. She nails it. And this is definitely more so than anything reported in the real life story. Turns into more of a possession type story. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason it was originally called the Enfield Poltergeist. This is more of a slow possession burn.
Right.
You know? But she nails it. She gets it really well. She's super creepy. The other kids also do a pretty good job. They're not as much as asked of them, surely, but, you know, they're enough to go, like, this is fucked up, Mom, why aren't we? Give me some more biscuits. There's a lot of talk about biscuits in this film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I feel like, if anything...
I think whoever wrote the script is probably like, well, what shit did British people say? Oh, they call cookies biscuits. I'll use that.
You know, I feel like... And you've got to compare it to the first one. There's just no choice. The first one had so delineated the structure of it and the build of it that it was just so effective at getting you to where you were so scared you could barely stand it anymore.
Right.
This one has more dips and turns along the way. It kind of goes up and down and up and down, where you're just like, I feel like we're not even approaching a three-act structure here in some ways. It's just like, I had no idea when they were reaching the closing point of this film until we were 10 minutes from the end.
I kind of felt it, like, right when the Warrens got to the house, a sixth sense of me, I was like, okay, the movie's not going to be scary anymore. This is the detective story part of it. And I don't know why, because the first one didn't do that. And I guess maybe that was sort of the expectation of the second one not being as good as the first, but I was just kind of... That's sort of where I'm preemptively having a problem with the third one. They're going to keep to this formula. Like, once the Warrens get to wherever they're supposed to go,
yeah.
If it's not going to be scary anymore, then I think that's a problem for the third movie.
Obviously,
it bothered me a little bit here.
The arc has got to continue to involve something mad at them.
Yeah.
But, which is definitely, you know, something that plays very much into the third act of this one, but, like, how much is that going to detract from the story as it is?
Conjuring 3, Pazuzu's Revenge.
Dude, they're totally going to mix together. I'm telling you, someone at the company right now is going, we're going to have a big crossover film 5 films from now, where it's like Insidious, Conjuring, Ouija, just all in one big movie. You know, Darth Maul, Marilyn Manson hanging out together, haunting the shit out of everybody.
Patrick Wilson's still playing the two different parts.
Yeah, exactly. They've been the same person the whole time. I guess, like, part of the reason, this is 134 minutes long. That's really long for a ghost movie, and I feel like part of that is that James Wan is in the position now of, like, he came back to this after he was not going to direct this as a sort of, like, what are you doing? No, give me that. Okay, fine, right. I'll do it. And I feel like it was kind of a, if I'm going to do this, I get fucking final as shit say over everything.
Yeah.
And there's a lot that could have been removed from this. It's overlong. It's a little unwieldy. But there's some genuinely scary stuff in here. You know, with the exception of the aforementioned CG creature, which does not sell, at least in comparison to everything else that's in here that is real. There's certainly a lot of good scares. I guess it just doesn't build quite as nicely and as... There's something to be said for horror for being very spare, for getting, like, you know, getting you directly to where you need to be. And this maybe meanders a little bit too much to really make the scares set in to the degree that they need to make them effective.
Gets you there, but then it lets you go.
Yeah. Too many times. Yeah. I'm going to finish up with my final thoughts, which were just those, and just go straight to my review, which I'm going to give this... 6 out of 10 new Marilyn Manson albums heavily inspired by this movie. JC?
Better than I thought it was going to be. I didn't think the sequel was going to be super weak or anything like that, but I think, you know, this year we've seen some weak sequels throughout, and you always worry about a horror sequel just dipping so much in quality. It just dipped a little bit. Didn't dip enough to make me really disappointed in the movie. It is a little overlong. I think if you're going to have a horror movie be 134 minutes long, it better be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
And this, it's not amazing, but it's, you know, it's pretty good. Vera Farmiga, I think, really nails the part. Patrick Wilson, to me, I think is beginning to bleed into all the characters he plays. He doesn't really do enough. He's not versatile enough for me to, like, really consider him a great actor. But, yeah, the little girl, Madison Wolf, was really great.
Yeah, we will see her in other stuff, I suspect.
It's the kind of quality performance as a young child that makes me think, like, really curious what she's going to do as she gets older to see if she's going to evolve into a great actress. Kind of like Chloe Moretz did with Kick-Ass and sort of wavered. But, I mean, you know, she's still got room to grow. But, yeah, this I would give it 6 out of 10 biscuits.
And now, finishing up our review, here's David Bhopal with his final thoughts.
I think I might have liked this a little bit more than you, just because I tend to be pretty hard on horror movies that are really like The Conjuring a lot. And I think this does. Yes, it is formulaic, but it sticks to the formula that is pretty good.
Witness sitting next to him. He was gasping and going, "Oh no!" and stuff like that. It was awesome.
Yes, exactly. That's the voice. As I wiped my forehead with a doily.
he totally did. He had a little monogrammed handkerchief he pulled out. He didn't wipe it. He dabbed it.
I had some moments. My move is to like look slightly off screen. Just be like, I'm not going to look at what's happening. Yeah. I'm with both.
There's plenty of genuine scares in this. There are moments that it's legitimately uncomfortable. And you know, that's always a great note for a horror movie to hit with me. I'm fairly hard to scare, so this movie gave me the willies, if you will. But yes, I definitely agree with you know, obviously there were, I had some problems with some of the CGI hiccups. It's too long. It's overindulgent. I do agree that, yeah, maybe it's relying on the formula a little too much and not throwing in some originality. That made that first movie seem so fresh. I actually kind of liked more of the research stuff that they were doing in the first one. I wish there was a little bit more of that, because as soon as they get to the house, there's no question. There's something fucking going on there, and you know, it seems pretty supernatural to get. There's only like when they have their moment of disbelief in this movie, I don't really buy it, because I'd be like, nah, you guys would be double down on
that's actually a huge flaw, because you're like, you have seen some shit that you're like, I'm sorry, how was that fake?
So those things aside, I enjoyed the movie quite a bit, and I would definitely say to anyone that liked the first one, you'll probably have a very good time at this one. I'm going to go ahead and give it 7.5 David Soul posters out of 10.
Oh man, yeah, like it was funny during the end credits, like the first one, they start showing the pictures of that they have from the house in real life versus
house,
and the like room with the posters they have up, fucking identical.
It was covered with Basie Roller and David Soul, aka Starsky from Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah, every detail. There's a moment where I can't remember who's the dark haired guy at Starsky and Hutch.
I can't remember
There's a moment where like I jumped because the camera was in the room, and I thought someone was standing there, and it
like,
was just
the
poster.
It's a 70s icon.
And they're like, James Wan's like, that wasn't actually supposed to be scary. Sorry.